We will now move on to Information Desk. Stamp thank yous go to Mrs. Betty Wilson, beautifully cut from the envelopes, Philip Payne for More Unusual Ones, and Mrs. M. Springall and Mrs. S. Watts for the other stamps we received, but unfortunately omitted to jot down the listeners' names. Dennis King, we hope you had a productive time on your allotment, and thank you, Margaret Arthurton, for your note. I'll pass the details on to our volunteers' office to amend his records.
We now have one item of news of motor cruiser trips from Vision Norfolk's Norwich Hub. These take place on the third Thursday of the month. Our minibus leaves the Bradbury Centre at 12:30 p.m. and returns at approximately 5 p.m. The cost is £15 for the motor cruise, with payment to the Nancy Oldfield Trust, and £5 for the minibus. At present, we're asking all passengers to do a lateral flow test and a temperature check prior to using the minibus, and to wear a face mask during the journey, and to use hand sanitizer. Please contact Mark or Helen to book your place. The next trip is on Thursday, the 17th of March. And if you want to make a late booking, please phone Mark on 01603 973 216 or email mark.smith@visionnorfolk.org.uk.
We now have a spring message from the Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service. The subject this time is making your home safe, and there are four key messages. First, you should have working smoke alarms. Fit a smoke detector on every floor of your home, ideally on ceilings in the hallway or landing. These can be purchased from most DIY stores or supermarkets. Don't put a smoke detector in your kitchen, where it can set off accidentally. Test the alarm once a week. Second, have a fire escape plan. Plan your escape routes and keep exits clear. The best route is the usual way in and out of your home. Get everyone to test your escape plan. Keep door and window keys handy. Tell the members of your household where they are. Third, have a bedtime routine. Close inside doors at night to stop a fire from spreading. Turn off and unplug electrical devices, unless they are designed to be left on, like your freezer. Check your cooker is turned off. Don't leave the washing machine or tumble dryer on. Turn heaters off and put up fire guards. Put candles and cigarettes out properly. Make sure the exits are kept clear. And fourth, if a fire starts, get out, stay out, and call 999. For further advice and request a home safety visit from the Norfolk Fire and Rescue Service, you can call them on 0300 123 1448. Or you can click Request a Home Fire Safety Visit from their website, which is the homepage www.norfolk.gov.uk/fire.
We now have a message from Stephen Cox to listeners who use a smart speaker to hear our recordings. We will refer to A so as not to set the smart speaker off. We have had to move our smart speaker services to a new supplier, and unfortunately this means that some changes in the A commands used to play our programmes. In fact, the move has already taken place, but we are currently making our programmes available from both our previous and our new suppliers. But from April, the previous supplier will disappear, and you will need to use the new commands to access A. Start by saying, A, open talking newspaper. A should reply with something like, "Welcome to our talking newspaper skill." Please say the name of the city of a newspaper or name of a town. To this prompt, you have four possible responses: Chatterbox Weekly, Chatterbox Magazine, Chatterbox Chat Around, or Chatterbox Let's Talk. You can say A next track and A previous track to move between tracks of the publication you're listening to. You can say A pause or A stop to pause or stop the publication from playing, then A play to resume playing. Also, A cancel to completely exit from the skill. In some cases, it is possible that A will not be able to change commands from the old to the new supplier. If you find that this happens, contact us on 01603 765 365 or by email, and we will get in touch with you to fix it as soon as possible. That's all for Information Desk this week, so I will ask Mike to introduce our fourth set of news stories.
I'm afraid we now have the gloom section. On the coast, further erosion damage is being reported at Winterton. There were worrying reports on hospital services as the NNN's complaint system has been criticised. Norfolk County Council has lost a legal challenge and will reverse cuts to support for disabled children after criticism from watchdogs. Canaries and Eagles will be sad to see the news from Carrow Road, where Norwich City lost at the weekend to Brentford 3-1. Nevertheless, a Norwich City supporters group is teaming up with a national campaign to make football more inclusive to women.
Coastal erosion has claimed another landmark as a Coastwatch tower was taken away before it collapsed into the sea. Just a few months ago, the tower at Winterton looked out across an estimated 90 more metres of land before it met vertiginous cliffs. Now, after a bruising erosion streak, it has been taken down and put into storage, following the Dunes Cafe into oblivion. The former shipping container was lifted off its concrete pad in two parts on Tuesday during a two-hour operation carried out amid gusting winds. Coastwatch manager Roger Rolfe said it was a sad day for the organisation, the break-in service ultimately making the stretch of coast more dangerous for those out to sea and exploring the wildlife-rich dunes on land. He said there had been a watch presence at Winterton since Victorian times, the present unit having been in place since 2005, thanks to the enthusiastic support of Alan McMurkey, who galvanised an appeal to fundraise for it. After 17 years, on behalf of Alan and all his hard work, it's a sad day, Mr. Rolfe said.
The county's biggest hospital has seen the way it deals with patients' complaints called into question, amid concerns people can't trust that lessons are being learned after mistakes. One patient, who was left with life-changing injuries, had a botched operation, accused the Norfolk and Norwich of insulting patients' intelligence by refusing to report complaints in the same way as other NHS trusts. Over the last 3 years, the Norfolk and Norwich claims it has fully upheld 97.5% of the 3,041 complaints it has resolved, rejecting only 74. However, this has been called into question after analysis showed this figure is less than 50% at more than 360 of England's 400 NHS bodies. In addition to recording new complaints this year, every NHS trust and clinical commissioning group must record how many complaints they resolve, and of those, how many were upheld, partially upheld, or rejected. Figures are published annually in order to be used by ombudsmen, patients, and the press as one measure of how each body deals with patients who feel let down. The ratio of complaints upheld, partially upheld, and not upheld is broadly consistent between trusts, with approximately 27% upheld, 36% partially upheld, and 37% rejected. But for 2020/21, the NNN reported it fully upheld 98.4% of the complaints it received, partially upheld none, and rejected only 1.6%. Of the 941 complaints resolved, it claims 926 were fully upheld and 15 rejected. Previous year's figures are similar, with a 97.5% fully upheld in 2019-20 and 96.9% fully upheld in 2018-19. The Norfolk and Norwich is the only NHS body in the region and almost the only one in England with data like this. The second highest fully upheld rate amongst hospitals in the east of England is 48.8% 8% at the Milton Keynes University Hospital Trust. The Norfolk and Norwich spokesman said the hospital records complaints as fully upheld when they have been offered an opportunity for review, learning and reflection. But Alex Stewart, chairman of the Health Watch Norfolk, said it's important for everyone to be able to compare data by trust and figures showing how many complaints are upheld. It's just one of the way patients and Health Watch Norfolk can do that. Consistency is the key. He went on, they're saying they have learned X, Y, and Z in each case, but I wonder how they can demonstrate consistency. I would question, how can patients be sure or be reassured that if they went back to the hospital a year later, the actions would have been taken or that they are sustainable? This raises questions for the Board of Governors. Elsewhere in the county, James Paget's complaint figures are inaccurate, with almost all complaints reported as not upheld in 2021. But the hospital explained this as a clerical error made during the pandemic. The Paget's previous year's data are in line with regional and national trends. Across the region, new complaints for NHS bodies were down on 2019-20 and 2018-19.
The mother of an 11-year-old boy whose speech and language therapy was reduced has won a legal challenge forcing Norfolk County Council to reverse cuts for him and other children. She said it was heartbreaking that children with special educational needs had been treated so poorly. Despite her victory, the mother, who doesn't want to be identified, is still waiting for his therapy to be restored. The authority said the changes to reduce speech and language therapy for children with educational health and care plans, EHCP, by 50% were always meant to be short-term, but that it would change its approach. The adjustments were revealed by the County Hall and NHS Norfolk and Waveney Clinical Commissioning Group last year, when there were more than 1,500 children on the waiting list for speech and language therapy. London-based Coram Children's Legal Centre was asked to represent the boy, known as H, who has special needs and an EHCP. The COVID-19 pandemic had already hit his group and one-to-one speech and language therapy sessions, and they reduced further after the council commissioned NHS Community Services to provide a report on his needs. That cut his sessions by more than a half, and the council's new policy proposed halving it further, so lawyers sent a pre-litigation letter warning that the policy was unlawful. The authority responded that it aimed to reduce delays in the overall service to address a backlog and cut waiting times. But the council accepted the policy did not meet statutory requirements and agreed to withdraw it.
And now the football news. Even the smattering of boos at full-time whistle to signal the end of Norwich City's miserable Premier League defeat to Brentford were half-hearted. But that should alarm those shaping the Canaries' future from here. No anger, no real frustration, just resignation at what would appear to have been another futile attempt to bridge the divide. Norwich were found wanting again, in all departments. They possess neither the depth of quality nor the levels of defensive resolve or the attacking invention required to make this a proper fight to the finish. Dean Smith inherited a mess not of his making. There was an uplift when he first arrived and another the other side of the festive spell, riven with injury and illness in his squad. But the trend now is regressive, and his most pressing task increasingly seems to be like a major reset on and off the park. Norwich have been ahead of the curve after striking out in a bold, fresh direction under the stewardship of Stuart Webber. Now it feels tired, it feels like an end of an era at Carrow Road. There is a one-pace lack of intensity and drive. Confidence is low and belief even lower. Barring a great escape that would frankly defy the weight of circumstantial evidence to this point of the current season, Norwich will have to go again in the Championship.
An influential Norwich City supporters group has teamed up with a national campaign aiming to make football more inclusive for women. The Canaries Trust has become an official partner of the hashtag HerGame2 initiative, which is trying to tackle sexism in the sport. The partnership has seen Jess Rose, a Norwich City supporter and member of the campaign, named as the Canaries Club Ambassador. The Trust and the HerGame2 now plan to cooperate on initiatives to ensure women are always made to feel welcome when following Norwich City. The campaign was launched less than a year ago, in May 2021, by a group of female football fans from around the country. They wanted to combat the abuse they had experienced, both online and in person, for simply being women who like football. Since its launch, several professional clubs have endorsed the campaign, and Norwich City has come under pressure to get involved. Amy Clement, 27, a co-founder of HerGame2, welcomed the partnership. "I didn't expect the campaign to grow this big. Now we're more established, we've opened up to women of all backgrounds to try and understand it from every type of woman's experience. Partnering with the Canaries Trust is fantastic. We've been so keen to get Norwich on board."
Our second feature is another in the Weird Norfolk series by Stacia Briggs and Sifra Connor. Here is Tim Peters to read their feature.